And how many of you have a King James Bible tonight? Hold it up. Let me see your Bible. Amen. Good. We are a Bible-believing, Bible-preaching church. I encourage you to bring the Bible. And how many of you are reading through with our church, our Bible program of reading? Raise your hand. Hold it up. Amen and amen. And I do try to write a devotional. I put it on the church app. You can get it, or on the church, app. You can get it if you look on Scranton Revival Baptist Tithely. We have our reading program posted there, as well as a devotional, and the message kind of comes out of that tonight. Amen. Because we were reading through the book of Judges. How many read in the book of Judges this week? All right. Judges 16, we have a man by the name of Samson. And we see him with an exchange of words with his girlfriend. And she is the famous Delilah. And Delilah wanted Samson to tell her the secret of his strength. Now, he didn't want to reveal what protected his God-given supernatural powers, because he was able to win battles over Israel's enemies, the Philistines. And boy, we need to win battles over our enemies. Amen? Amen. Oh, you just saying the Mormons, the Jehovah Witness, and the Muslims?
Seventh-day Adventists.
And the Seventh-day Adventists. Yeah, but we had, Seventh-day Adventists instead of Jehovah's Witnesses. So Seventh-day Adventists, Mormons, Islamic people. All of these people coming out of the woodwork. Why is that? Well, to discourage you, to attack, because God is on the move. And, you know, God was on the move when he raised up Samson. And so here's Delilah, and she's speaking to Samson, and in chapter 16, verses 7 and 17, I want to look at those two verses for our text tonight. Because in verse 7, she's trying to get the secret of his strength from him. She wants to deal with that. And Samson doesn't want to tell her, but he hints at it. And he gave her a misleading answer, but he was hinting at the right answer of how he would lose his God-given power. But in both of these verses, in Judges 16, verse 7 and 17, both of these verses, he tells Delilah something that really points to the title of the message tonight. He gives her a possible untrue method to how she could steal his strength. But then he says to her in verse 7, he says, "Then shall I be weak and be as another man." Don't miss that. "Then shall I be weak and be as another man." He said, if you take these green grasses and weave them into my hair, they've never been dried, and then I shall be weak and be as another man. He said that he would lose his God-given power, and he would become just a normal man. In effect, he was saying, if he lost that God-given power to fulfill his God-given purpose, that he would be just like any other person. Can I say something to you tonight? God did not save you to be like any other person. God did not save you to fit in with the crowd of this world. No, he did not do that. He would just become normal, and he told his girlfriend that. Then in verse 17, he flat out told her exactly why his supernatural power would be cut off. He said, "If you cut off my Nazarite locks that are there to set me apart, and if I be shaven, then my strength will go from me, and I shall be weak and be just like any other man." And you know what? That's exactly what happened. She called the Philistines. They shaved his hair, and he became just like any other man. Now, I want to remind you that Samson had a supernatural birth. His mom was barren. She couldn't have babies. And the angel of God came and told her and told the father that you're going to get a baby as a gift from God. And he's going to have a special plan and purpose for his life. And his purpose is going to be to deliver Israel from the Philistine enemies that were over them. And the Lord told his parents that in order to keep that supernatural purpose, I'm going to give him supernatural power, but you must raise him the right way as a Nazarite, because if you don't do that, then, you see, he's going to forfeit that supernatural power. Now, of course, Satan sees this. Satan had held the Israelites in bondage for 40 years, and he didn't want to let them up. By the way, you know, America has been in bondage to, I don't call them the elites, I call them the leeches. Because they're leeching off America, right? It was about 2% the taxation in the early days of this country. Now it is up around at least 40% in this country. And where's that money going? To leeches who are leeching off of the society. And so, you see, that's what these Philistines were. They were leeching off of God's people. They were controlling God's people. And they had been doing it for 40 years. And so God decides, okay, I am going to give this couple, the mother can't have a baby, she's barren. I'm going to give them a supernatural birth. And the angel of the Lord announced this child that was going to come, and his name was going to become Samson. And Satan wanted Samson to be normal. And he wants you to be normal. He wanted Samson to go along with the flow. And he wants you to go along with the flow. And he wants our church to go along with the flow. He wants our power to be cut.
Right.
He wants us to be discouraged by the Mormons and by the cults and by the Islamic false religion. Islam is a false religion. Jesus Christ is God. Muhammad was a pedophile. He married Aisha at 7 years of age and consummated the marriage at 9 years of age. She writes about it, and I read what she had to say as she became a teenager. Wickedness, my friend. But Satan is into that kind of thing. And he's trying to discourage God's people. He doesn't want you to be supernatural. He wants you to be normal. But God didn't call us to be normal. And he didn't call Samson to be normal. And so he wants us to operate in the realm of the supernatural power of Almighty God. You say, but the Mormons have power. But the Jehovah Witnesses have power. But the Seventh-day Adventists, but the Islamists have power. Yeah, but greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. God's got all power. He's got all authority. And we need the power of Almighty God in our lives. And Samson had that power of God. And God raised him up and he gave him a supernatural birth. So the name of my message tonight is Don't Be Normal.
Amen.
Don't be normal tonight.
Amen.
Tonight, God didn't call you to be normal. Don't be just a natural tonight. Be a supernatural. And so tonight we want to preach on that. And I want to tell you three things about that. Don't be normal by seeking first your God-given purpose. Don't miss this. Samson was born supernaturally. Look what it says in Judges 13 and verse 1. It says this, "And the children of Israel did evil again in the sight of the Lord, and the Lord delivered them into the hand of the Philistines 40 years. Now let me tell you, grace will make you rich in Christ with blessings of God. Not necessarily all physical blessings, but grace makes you rich with God's blessing. Sin will make you poor.
Right.
And these people were the people of God, and they sinned and had unconfessed sin in their life. That will rob you of God's blessing and power every time. That sin led to what? Slavery. You may do a sin and think that's fun. That's going to be pleasurable. I'll just click onto this on the internet. I'll get onto that. And then you get into slavery. You're into bondage. And Jesus said, he that commits sin is the servant of sin. I don't want to be a slave to sin, because who's moving the chessboard? Satan. And then you're under Satan's power. And I don't want to be there. So sin leads to slavery. But in the book of Judges, every time God's people got into sin, they got into slavery. Guess what? God raised up a Savior. Small s. That small s stood for a judge. The judges were little saviors that God raised up, listen to me, to have power over the enemy that was holding them in captivity, so that they could be free to serve God and overcome their slave masters. And so God raised up Samson, gave him a supernatural birth so that he could do that. Now, these little judges, these little saviors, were types of the ultimate Savior. Samson was born supernaturally. Here's what it says in verse 2 and 3 of chapter 13. There was a certain man of Zorah, of the family of the Danites, whose name was Manoah. And his wife was barren and bare not. And the angel of the Lord appeared unto the woman and said unto her, behold, now thou art barren. That's interesting. She was barren. He said, thou art barren. Pointing it out. And bearest not, emphasizing it, but thou shalt conceive and bear a son. I like that. God said, you're barren. You're not bearing, but you'll conceive and bear a son. You know what we need? We need to bear some children. Amen. We need to have some spiritual children. We need to see some people born again. I love it when I hear testimonies. If you were preaching a word, I got saved. I got born again. And now I'm a child of God. And now I'm feeding on the heavenly manna and I'm serving God. That's what God wants for our church. That's what God wants for believers today. The supernatural power to God working through you as you plant the gospel seed in people's hearts, and God conceives in their heart, and they're born again, and they're following Jesus Christ. That's what we need to see. And so he made that announcement, and he said, you're going to have that baby. That's what the angel did. Kind of reminds me of the Savior's birth. He went to a woman that couldn't have a baby because she was a virgin. Amen. And the angel said, you're going to have a child, and that child is going to be supernatural. The power of the Almighty is going to overshadow the virgin, and you're going to have a child. And that child was not just a Savior, small s. That child was Savior, capital S, the Savior of the world, Jesus Christ. He came supernaturally. No thanks to the devil. No thanks to this world. No thanks to our flesh. He was born to save this world. And thank God that God raised up Samson as a type of the Savior. And I want to say this. Not only was Samson born supernaturally to save, but Samson is like you, because you have a supernatural birth and you have a supernatural purpose in your life. And Satan does not want you to find that purpose and fulfill that purpose for which you were born again. By the way, that's called the hope of his calling. Amen. And that's why we need to be in church. That's why we need to hear the word of God, so we can find out our purpose and we can focus in on it. Now, if you are in this world and you're born again, you are not of this world. You are like that fish called a salmon. You know what the salmon does when he has to go lay eggs and so forth? They swim upstream. You're going against the tide of this world. You are a citizen of a heavenly country, and you are going to heaven. You're on your way there. And I like what our first pastor said, my best friend in college, Dr. Charles Ware. He said to me, Bloom, he said, you are distracted. You need to get Matthew 6:33 and seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. You know why that was? Because I was always thinking about, I'm in college, I'm a single guy, look at all these beautiful Christian women, I need to have a girlfriend. I need to have a girlfriend. And Charlie Ware, he said, I'm not even thinking about that. God will bring my wife into my life. He said, I am seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and God will bring that girl into my life. But I was all distracted. And I couldn't focus on God. I couldn't focus on, you know, you can't serve two masters. You're going to either hate the one and love the other, love the one, hate the other. You can't serve God and mammon, and you can't serve God and women. You say, why are you bringing up women? Because Samson had a problem. It was called women. The strong man had a weakness. And so anyway, he told me that, and somewhere along the line, I began to get locked into that, and God began to deal with me, and I began to focus in on what God wanted me to do. And I think about Isaac. Remember Isaac? Isaac just stayed in the place where God had him. And you know what? His father found him a wife. And if you stay in the place where God has you, if you're meant to have a wife, he's able to bring her in. You say, but there's not enough people. He doesn't need enough people. He only needs one, and he can bring that one in. So, Brother Matthew, you're right here. You just stay right in God's will, and he'll bring her in. If he wants her in, he will do it. You say, how's he going to do it? I've seen him do it before. He's done it in the Bible. And I can't give you any other counsel than that. Don't be like Samson and let anything, listen to me, or anyone take you away from God's purpose. Now, my wife told me you don't go out visiting on Saturday. You stay and do this and you do that and you do the other thing. I'd be out visiting right like that. Thank God my wife doesn't do that. My wife is not excess baggage. She's an exuberant blessing. She helps me to serve God. And the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he addeth no sorrow with it. You will suck sorrow if you don't seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. Somebody say, yeah, but I'm single, man. You don't understand. You're better to be single and wishing you were married than married and wishing you were single. I'll tell you that. I'll tell you that. Dog my cats. I will tell you that, my friend. And so anyway, Samson was a type of Jesus Christ. But Delilah, because it was always a woman with Samson, always a woman. Delilah was a type of Judas. You know that? Remember, you know what they got Delilah with? They enticed her with silver. They said, we'll give you so much silver. Each of us will give you silver. And she's like, woo. Woo. She got off on the silver. And she started to entice Samson to tell the secret of his strength. Now, he shouldn't even been dating that woman. He shouldn't even had her. But Satan knew the strong man's weakness. Amen. And there he was, and she's like Judas. Judas was on the inside, and they enticed him with silver, right? They said, we'll give you 30 pieces of silver. He sold the master out for that, and they were able to arrest our Savior. And Samson was sold out, and a woman was doing it. Now, I want you to notice in Judges 16, 4 through 6, I'm going to read that, and you follow in your copy. Here's what it says, and it came to pass afterward that he loved a woman in the valley of Sorek, whose name was Delilah, and the lords of the Philistines came up unto her and said unto her, entice him, and see wherein his great strength lieth, and by what means we may prevail against him, that we may bind him to afflict him, and we will give thee every one of us 1,100 pieces of silver. And Delilah said to Samson, tell me, I pray thee, wherein thy great strength lieth. In other words, she wants the payday, amen. And wherein thou mightest be bound to afflict thee. Oh, I'm glad when God brings a blessing into your life, it's not going to be to take away your strength from God. I'm glad when God brought my wife into my life, it did not take away from my strength to serve God. And I'm able to keep on serving God because of that. She's a woman that always is home-centered and keep her at home. Thank God for that. Too many Delilahs out there, outside, doing their thing and not being what they ought to be doing.
Right.
Helping their husband and helping with the children, doing the great work that a godly woman does. And Samson was a type of Christ, and Delilah was selling him for silver, and he was going to be a deliverer to deliver God's people by the supernatural power of God. And remember, our Lord, he offered to be the deliverer of Israel, and he did miracles to present himself. Satan wants to use your weakness to steal your God-given strength and get you away from your special purpose in your life. I remember when I went to Bible college, and before I got close to Charlie Ware in Matthew 6:33, and I said, I want a girlfriend. I want a girl that I like to smell her perfume. And I remember this girl, I like to smell her perfume. I want a girl that she's good looking. She was good looking. And it was a girl that was a daughter of a guy that was working for the college, and he was doing maintenance, and every Sunday I could get over there and eat dinner. Man, that Sunday dinner was great. I could get over there and eat that Sunday dinner. But I had something in me that was nagging me that this is not the will of God for your life. It was a lack of peace. I knew I wasn't sold out for God. And when I saw my friend Charlie Ware sold out for God, preaching the word of God, he wasn't worried about a woman. He said, God will bring her in. And when God brought that woman to him, man, she became a great woman. You could testify. My wife could tell you that. Sharon, his first wife, what a godly woman. But anyway, he was telling me the right thing. But that girl. And I remember that Satan wanted me to lose my testimony. And God saved me out of that situation. And he gave me a verse. And here's the verse he gave me. Proverbs 31:3. Give not thy strength unto women, nor thy ways to that which destroyeth kings. Give not thy strength unto women. And you know what? That verse is true.
Right.
You give your strength to God. You give your life to God. You follow the word of God. If he wants you to have the woman, he will bring her right to where you are. Check it out. He does it. He did it with Eve. He did it with Isaac. He did it with Ware. He did it with me. He'll do it with you. Amen and amen. And I'm sure Marie can testify. He's doing it with Jesse. Amen. Jesse loves his wife. I was out with him. He just loves his wife. And thanks God for her. Don't be normal. Seek first your God-given purpose. And don't let any Delilah or anything else distract you away from that God-given, whether it be a sin or just something that slows you down, a weight in your life. Seek the God-given purpose for your life. Amen. And you know what? When you get around people, Brother Bob, that have that number one God-given purpose, it's contagious. Charlie Ware was contagious. He was too hot to handle. He was flammable. And I caught on fire from being around him. And that's what we need in the church. We need bus captains who are on fire so that other people want to become bus captains. We need soul winners who are on fire so other people want to be soul winners. We need preachers to be on fire so some young man doesn't think that a preacher is somebody with lace on his underpants, some kind of femme thing, but he's a man of God.
Amen.
We need that today. And I'm just saying to you, don't be normal, be supernormal by seeking first your God-given purpose. Secondly, by staying with your God-given power. You see, Samson had the Holy Ghost come upon him and gave him that power. Let me read a verse. In Judges 13, it says in verse 24 and 25, "And the woman bare a son, called his name Samson, and the child grew, and the Lord began to move him at times in the camp of Dan between Zorah and Eshtaol." And, you know, Samson began as a young boy to realize the power of God was moving in his life. Now, I had a dog named Samson, and he had power, but it was natural power. The dog was just powerful. And he would intimidate people that came by to jog by my house, and he would bark at them. And one day, they sent the cops from South Abington to go out there and check this dog out. Is he really doing that? And my dog, I didn't know this, but the cop parked his car. He got out of the car. And he walked in front of my house on the street just to look. And all of a sudden, bounding across the lawn, he sees this massive bull Rottweiler. Oh, it was just coming at him. A bull mastiff Rottweiler combination. His dad was a Rottweiler. His mom was a nice lady, a nice dog lady, a bull mastiff. But anyway, this dog, he's just coming, that cop, he's just like booking to the car. He gets in the car, he shuts the door, and the dog hits the car, bam! And the car's rocking back and forth, back and forth. I mean, one day, my wife went to court on that one, and they reduced the fine, they reduced it, it was great, but one day, Samson went down the other side of the house, and that's where the cars speed by, you know, 50 mile an hour. I had a little dog that went by. His name was Gunner. How many heard of Gunner? He was by there, and a car hit Gunner, and he's dead. He squashed him. That was it. It was poor Gunner. He met his match. That car hit him. Samson, on the other hand, he went down there, and a car hit him maybe 50 mile an hour, and all I saw was, like, headlights, car, you know, metal parts of the car all strewn down the road. And Samson's just limping a little bit, you know. Oh, you know, I mean, that dog, he was something else. That was natural power. But I'm not talking here about natural. I'm talking about supernatural. See, Samson, he wasn't a great muscle-bound guy. He looked normal, you know, like this. He looked like a normal man. Just a normal guy. But, you know, no big, huge muscles here and great strength here. He looked pretty normal. But the thing of it is, when the Holy Ghost came on him, he was supernatural. Now, God doesn't want that in your life. He doesn't want you to have the power of the Holy Spirit come upon you as you serve God in the church, as you go out with the gospel of Jesus Christ. But God, on the other hand, he has a special purpose for you, and so he gives you his power to back it up. And Samson began to experience that power. You know, I think about Moses. Moses said, you know, I want our people, God's people, to be separate from all the people in the earth. And you know what he asked God to do to make God's people special and separate? He said, God, we need your presence to come and to lead us to the promised land. You know what? The old time religion, the old time churches, they were seeking not strange fire, but the old time fire of the power of God. Revival, the presence of God, the power of God. And they would pray, and they would seek God for that. They would call fasting days, and the old Americans, they would say, you know, the enemy's knocking us over. Our young people are going into the world. We're losing against the enemy. We need your power, oh God. We have been sinning, and we backslid, and now we're seeing our young people enslaved to the enemy. We're seeing defeats. We need you to free us up. We need the power of God. And Moses was the same way. The people went into idolatry. They worshiped the golden calf. They got into fornication. And by the way, if you go away from God, you're going to get into something like fornication. Amen. And they got away from God. They got into fornication. And their lives were messed up. And they're crying out to God. And God raises up this deliverer. But I think about Moses. And Moses went to God. He said, Lord, he said, we need you. And God said, no, I'm not going to go with you. I'm going to send an angel, and the angel's going to take you into the promised land. And Moses said, no, we need your presence. We need you so that people will know we're different. By the way, we need that today in Christianity. We need the power of God to be manifest and to change lives. I get sick and tired of these world support groups like AA and some drug groups. The local church needs to be the support group. And the power of God needs to be seen in the church. And Moses prayed for that. And the power of God descended on the tabernacle where he was seeking God. And the presence of God was manifest there. And I believe God did it then. He can still do that. And the Bible says a young man, Joshua, he went there to the tent. And Joshua, when Moses had to leave, Joshua stayed there and said, oh, I just want to be here in the presence of God. Would to God our churches would have more of that. So our young people wouldn't have to go after what the world is offering out there. The sports heroes of this world and the things of this world. That they would have God in their life and see the hand of God. Samson had the power of God. And the Bible says in Judges 14, 5 and 6, he says, then went Samson down and his father and his mother to Timnath and came to the vineyards of Timnath, and behold, a young lion roared against him. And the Spirit of the Lord came mightily upon him. Hey, I like that. Doesn't just say the Spirit of the Lord came upon him. How'd the Spirit of the Lord come?
Mightily
upon him. I don't know about you. I don't want just grace. I want great grace. I don't just want power. I want great power. Why? Because we've got a great lion called Satan. He's a roaring lion. He's devouring people. And we need the power of God to come, look at that, mightily upon us. And the Bible says when that happened, he took that lion. Look at this. It said he rent him like a kid. And he had nothing in his hand. But he told not his father's mother what he had done. You know what? God's Spirit is no match. I mean, I should say the unholy spirit is no match for God's Spirit. That's what I meant to say. You know, I don't know about you, but Joe Biden to me doesn't look like a president. He looks like a puppet. He's a puppet of the globalist leeches. And he can't even put sentences together anymore. They're leading him around. He said the other day, he gave the speech and then he said, pause. And the people started clapping. It was just ridiculous. He was reading pause in the speech. But you know what? They got Donald Trump in the meantime stuck up in New York in a courtroom. They got him trying to put him in jail. They want to control him so he can't talk to the people. Biden goes to Pennsylvania and here and there, and he says what they want him to say like a puppet on a string. And Trump's in there. But you know what Trump said? Trump said, they got me in New York, so you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to win New York. And he's going around to the people of New York, and he's giving them a good word all over the city of New York. I said, that looks to me like an anointed president, somebody that God has anointed. That's what we need today. Somebody that God's hand is on. And that's what Samson was. the hand of God was upon him, and he rent that lion and tore that lion up. I would not be a bit surprised all these legal cases will fall off. And this man will still be put back in. In Judges 14:19, it says, "And the Spirit of the Lord came upon him, and he went down to Ascalon and slew 30 men of them and took their spoil." I'm saying to you that Samson's strength was not given from his Nazarite vow. His separated life didn't give him his strength. You understand what I'm saying? The Holy Spirit gave him his strength. The Nazarite vow was what would protect his strength so that God wouldn't take it away. God gave it to him. But God gave, and God can what? Take away. He could take away. And so Samson had that strength, and the devil knew it, and so he sent a woman. He didn't send a strong man to take it away, like, "I'm going to get you." He'd have gotten killed. He sent a woman. And he was like, "Oh, yeah, what do you want?" Ooh. He was putty in her hands. And so he started telling her hints of how she could get his power. And finally, he just gave it away. Can I say something to you? Don't get involved in missionary dating. You are not going to lead that girl higher up to yourself. Amen and amen. You're not going to do that. Don't get involved in missionary dating. Sarah, would you stand up on that pew? Stand up on that pew. And Luke, pretend like you're her boyfriend. I know you're a brother. That's safe bet. You can hold hands with your sister. Now, you try to pull Luke up to you. Grab his hand. Pull him up. All right. Try again. All right, take her down. All right, easy, right? Easy. Yeah, clap for them. That's good. That's a good demonstration. I've used that many times to say, you cannot pull somebody up to your level by missionary dating. God doesn't want that. They will pull you down. Hey, when's the last time you coughed on somebody with the flu and they got healthy because you were healthy? I mean, they're going to cough and you're going to get sick. Amen. And so Samson was getting pulled away to the point where if he's not careful, he's going to lose the power of God. And that's what happens, and that's what Satan wants, for you to lose the power of God and therefore to lose the purpose of God in your life. But when God gives you a woman, the blessing of the Lord maketh rich, and he adds no sorrow with it. And so Samson thought he could keep on turning God on and turning him back off. He'd turn him off when he wanted to be with Delilah, turn him back on. He turned him off when he wanted to be with a harlot down there in Gaza and turned him back on when he needed. And for a while it worked. For a while God worked with that. He let it happen. God let it happen for a while. But then there comes a point of what you call no return. Amen. You've gone too far. And the man went too far. And now he told her the secret of his strength. And right away, she gets him to sleep. And I remember when I saw a guy went to sleep and his house just about burned down while he was sleeping. Anyway, he's sleeping. And she calls him in, cuts his hair off. And then she goes, "Samson, the Philistines are on you." And the Philistines came out to get him. And the Bible says this. He says, he's talking to himself. He said, "I'll go out as at other times before and shake myself." And that's what he used to do. He'd go out and he'd just go, "Ah," the power was there. And he would take him. And he said, "I'll go out as other times and shake myself." And he shook himself. And the Bible says these tragic words. He wist not, that means he knew not, that the Lord had departed from him. And when he shook himself, there was no power. And they came upon him and took him. They bound him. They, with hot pokers, poked his eyes out. They made him grind grain for them in their mill where he ground grain for bread as a slave. Just like the Israelites that he came to deliver. What a sad situation that he lost the power of Almighty God. What a sad thing that is. I want to say to you and to me, we should not take for granted the power of God so that we can witness and win people to Christ. I was thinking today, 2024, we are in a wave of the power of God, blessing our witness, blessing this church. Every week, people coming down the aisle, getting saved, getting baptized, joining the church, the army of God. It's not something to take for granted. It's been 12 years since we've had that kind of growth. 12 years. I have seen times where we've had the power of God blessing and times where there's been an ebb in that. All we need to be concerned that we are not losing that Holy Spirit power, that Holy Spirit filling. And I think of King Saul, that he was anointed by Samuel with oil to be the king. And God said through Samuel, the power of God will come upon you, Saul, so that you can defeat the enemies of Israel and deliver them, just like Samson was to do. But he was going to be a king to do it. And he said, once the Holy Spirit comes upon you, Samuel said in 1 Samuel 10, 1 and 6, you shall be another man. Not like any other man. You shall be another man. In other words, you're not going to be normal, Saul, now like you've been. You're going to be another man. You're going to be super normal. Oh, that's what I want. Yeah. You know, Jesus said, and ye shall receive power. Right. After that, the Holy Ghost has come upon you. I don't want to be normal. I want to be super normal. And Saul got empowered and God blessed him. And the Bible said he began to kill the enemy of Israel and deliver Israelites. And God touched a band of men to help him and to go with him because they saw the anointing of God upon him. You can see the power of God in somebody's life. You can see the lack of it many times. Samson didn't see it, but the Philistines sure saw it. Satan saw it. And the Philistines began to have a big party to mock Samson and make fun of him. And that's what the devil does to Christianity, that lose the power of God. And that's what the devil wants to do to you. He wants to make fun of you. He wants to make mockery out of you. Doesn't want you to be a threat. So I'm saying tonight, don't surrender your God-given purpose. Don't give it up like Saul did. Because when Saul gave up the power of God because of disobedience and stubbornness, God said, I'm going to take from you that power of the Holy Spirit, and I'm going to give it to David. And he gave it to David. And Saul lost it. Hey, don't lose the purpose of God for your life. Don't lose the power of God to fulfill that purpose, because God will back it, because God will give it to somebody else. God will give your reward to somebody else. God will give your crown to somebody else. And I don't want to lose that. I don't want to let that go. I know that's too valuable, beloved. And Saul had it and lost it. Samson had it, lost it, and thank God he got it back again. Remember, Samson was a type of Christ. They were mocking him, and they had 3,000 Philistines in the upper gallery of this great big theater. And the theater had two big large pillars that held up the top seats where all the Philistines were, like the major ones, 3,000 of them. And Samson was below, and his eyes he couldn't see, and some guy was guiding him. He said, just guide me over to the pillars that hold up the house. And he got his two hands between the pillars. And the I don't know if he did this or did this. I think this. But the Bible said he bowed himself. So he went like that. And the Bible said, howbeit, the hair of his head began to grow again. And he said, Lord, I've lost that power, you know. He said, but would you give it back to me one more time? The Philistines got me and they got my eyes, Lord. Would you give it back one more time? Would you give me that power back one more time? And God said, I will. And he did. And Samson went like this. And that thing moved. And that house came down. And all 3,000 of those devils died. Samson died with them. The Bible said he killed more in his death than he did in his life. Who is he a picture of? Jesus on the cross. Dying in his death and defeating Satan. Defeating your enemies. And Samson got the power of God. And he was a picture of Jesus Christ. He got it back. But how tragic. What a cost. And Saul had it, lost it, didn't get it back. It went to David. And David, he had the power of God. He was winning victories over Goliath and over other Philistines and giving Israel great victories. And the enemy knew it. He tried to move on David. And he used a lady again. It's always a woman. He used a woman, Bathsheba. And David committed adultery with Bathsheba by fornication. And he was in danger of losing the power of God. And you know what David did? He repented. And he said, Lord, take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Now, Peter Ruckman, in a heretical way, said that what was happening there is that David was an Old Testament believer, and in the Old Testament, people lost their salvation, and they could get it back again. Peter Ruckman is wrong. David couldn't lose his salvation. He had the sure mercies of David, the Bible says. What David was praying was not to not lose his salvation. David was praying that he wouldn't lose the power of the Holy Spirit to perform the purpose that God had given him. And God heard him. He didn't lose that. He was chastened. And was chastened greatly, but he didn't lose the power of the Holy Spirit. So be supernormal, not normal. Seek first your God-given purpose. Secondly, seek first, as I've just been preaching, your God-given power to fulfill that purpose, because that's what God wants you to do. And lastly, I want to say this in closing, by soul winning with your God-given provisions. Soul winning with your God-given provisions. You know, we're living in the New Testament. And in the New Testament, on the day of Pentecost, God sent the Holy Spirit down from heaven. And here's what it says. When the Holy Spirit came down and filled the church, and Peter was preaching, he said this, but this is that. When he said this is that, he's talking about Joel's prophecy, and he meant that which is a near part of a near and far fulfillment of that prophecy. There's a far fulfillment when Jesus saves Israel, but there's a near fulfillment when the day of Pentecost came. He said, but this is that which was spoken by the prophet Joel. And it shall come to pass in the last days, saith God, I will pour out of my spirit upon all flesh, and your sons and daughters shall prophesy, and your young men shall see vision, and your old men shall dream dreams. Now, a lot of good, well-meaning, charismatic believers, they think, oh, yes, that is the sign of being filled with the Holy Spirit. Speaking in visions, dreaming dreams, seeing visions, and prophesying. But listen to me. They were living during the time of the signs of the apostles. 2 Corinthians 12:12.
Right.
Those signs accompanied that first coming of the Holy Spirit, because There was, number one, a reoffer of the kingdom to the Jews, and they sought those signs. And number two, they were finishing the New Testament as prophets of God, and the credentials were the sign gifts. 2 Corinthians 12:12. We're not to seek the signs. But when the Holy Spirit was given, listen to me, in the Old Testament, the Holy Spirit was given to empower prophets, to empower kings, to empower judges who were little saviors. But in the New Testament and in this church dispensation, the Bible very clearly says that it will be to old people, it will be for young people, it will be for every believer. But you say, what is the purpose of it? Acts 1:8. And ye shall receive power, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. The Holy Spirit is given today, listen to me and listen to me well, so that we can witness, and the Holy Spirit will witness with us and get people saved. The Holy Spirit is given to get people saved, not to speak in some foreign language or some strange fire. It's to get people saved. And then they'll build their life on this apostles' doctrine. That's what the apostles left behind for us today. I know that a lot of people aren't very impressed with that. I went to a church one time, and our former pastor was there, and I was there, and they had a service, and one of the elders, they had all these elders lined up, and during the service, one of these elders, all of a sudden, sitting in front of us, went, and I looked at our pastor, and his eyes were bugging out like this. And some lady was, wow. And at the end of the service, they had all the elders talk about the service, and they got to that particular guy that was bouncing off the walls. He said, I really felt the Holy Spirit here tonight. I could sense it. And the lady behind him said, yeah, brother, you got all of him too. You got all of him too. It's not how high you can jump on Sunday night. It's how straight a line you can walk on Monday morning. And it's how many people that you can confront and see God witness with your witness and get people saved. You could break out of barrenness like Samson's mother. You could break out of barrenness like Hannah. But you got to have the purpose of God for your life.
That's right.
That's what we're here for, to be his witnesses. We're not Jehovah's false witnesses. We're the true witnesses. Glory to God. And we got the power of the Holy Spirit. We got the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But Satan wants to get you away from your purpose. Satan wants to get you away from your power. And Satan doesn't want you to have your provisions. You have two provisions. Number one is prayer. And the book of Acts, they prayed for the power of the Holy Spirit. God does not give the power of the Holy Spirit apart from prayer. Ask and it shall be given. Seek and you shall find. But it's no secret what God can do. He'll give you an answer to prayer. But the second provision is proclamation of the gospel. Prayer, P plus P equals if. Prayer plus proclamation of the gospel equals what? Irresistible force. That's what we need.
Right.
That's the provision. It's no secret.
Amen.
Soul winning with your God-given provisions. Be supernormal. Don't be normal. May God help you. Let's bow for prayer. Every head bowed. We've been talking about being normal or being super.